Hey guys, this is Taste Masters with your hosts, David and Wyatt. Alright guys, this one is another special episode. We're talking another special episode. We're talking salt flats, beers to go, cocktail beers to go.
Yeah.
I get a lot of people telling me, David, I don't like beer. You'll never get me on your podcast. I hate beer. I hate beer. Like, how often do you get that one, Wyatt? Too often?
Way too often.
I get a lot of, and it bothers me. It's like, beer. You guys don't diss beer until you try it. But for those who are, they hate beers, these are cocktails in a can. So
made by a brewery.
Exactly. So with Salt Flats, we talked to Salt Flats. We had Scott, the brewmaster, come on. However, the distiller, Trent, is the one that brewed these.
Nice.
And they had some medals. I believe the Kentucky – so we have Bartender to Go, Salt Flat Spirits. They have the Cuba Libra, the Kentucky Mule, Long Island Iced Tea, Tequila Sunrise, Sturgis Lemonade. So the Sturgis Lemonade won them a bronze medal, ready to drink. The Kentucky Mule won best in class and silver medal. Excuse me. Yeah. So these are award-winning Bartender to Go, cocktails. Yeah. And the reason why Wyatt and I we're really excited about this one is because as bartenders, we kind of want to teach you guys about cocktails and bartender rules.
We want to see how good they are.
Yeah, and I'm curious to know what they are.
Yeah.
But the first one we're going to try is the Tequila Sunrise. Get this one. This one, to me, when I'm making a Tequila Sunrise at the bar, it's basically how – whenever I'm pouring this, I think of a not as fancy mimosa.
Okay.
So you know how you got champagne or sparkling wine and you put orange juice with it?
Uh-huh.
To me, it's like I rather have something stronger. So I want a shot of tequila with orange juice and then throw a little grenadine in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's a pretty drink. I don't love them.
I'm not a fan.
Like, it's like one of those – I'm not a huge fan in general of like ultra sweet drinks, and this is one of those to me like ultra sweet drinks. Well, I have a question for you, David. When you make a tequila sunrise, do you put the grenadine in the bottom before everything else, or do you put the grenadine on top and let it – trickle down?
So I'll tell you what I do. I put it on top and let it trickle down.
Uh-huh.
For me, and I see it as the sunrise, and I like the show it gives because it has to be served then. Traditionally, you should put it, in my opinion, at the bottom first.
Yeah.
And then have the orange juice on top. But I like the kind of like the swirly color it gives off.
When you do that, so the first time I saw you do that, it made me think of like when the sun's coming up and there's clouds in the sky, they turn like bright red or pink, very similar to a sunset.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, yeah, like I could see how that could be like tequila sunrise. But it makes me think more sunset.
More sunset. And tequila sunset.
Yeah, tequila sunset.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think it looks really cool. And the coolest thing about the tequila sunrise to me is the presentation. I think it looks cool. I like to do the grenadine on the bottom. So I'll put like
– and I think that's traditional. I think that's how you should do it. I just don't do it.
A very small amount of grenadine. Then you add your ice. Key part. You got to add the ice before you add anything else. Grenadine first. And if you go ice and then grenadine, you already fucked up.
Right.
Grenadine,
yep.
Then ice, and then your orange juice, and then the tequila. And then you've got layers too. So like the tequila, especially the ice, like the reason I like to put the ice in next is it breaks up the liquids, like keeps them from mixing, so it kind of slows the fall. So the orange juice will layer perfectly on top of the grenadine. You'll have a layer of red and then a layer of orange. And then you leave a little bit and you pour your tequila on top of that. And you've got a layer of – it kind of turns like a light yellow because it mixes with the orange juice a little bit.
Yeah, it settles a bit.
But I think – I wouldn't say the most important part, but one of the biggest parts because like you've got senses, right? We all fucking know this. We learned it in kindergarten. We've all got senses. So – a cocktail should appeal to more than one, preferably more than two senses to me. I want a cocktail to smell nice. I want a cocktail to look nice. And then finally, the last thing you're going to do with it is you're going to taste it.
Right.
Right. And I think even like the sound of like the ice in a glass can sound cool. And that's one of the biggest things that I like. Ice, specifically like separate ice cubes as opposed to a big ice cube. Because I like the sound of ice, especially like if someone gets like whiskey on the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
to me, that's a mistake to begin with. But if you really want whiskey on the rocks, I like to go whiskey and then I'll put ice on top and swirl it.
Right.
I like the sound that the ice makes as it swirls. It chills the whiskey a little bit. And I think the ice should be well above the whiskey. Because then, like, as you drink, like, when I drink whiskey, I kind of swirl it as I drink. Same with beer. When I drink beer, I swirl it as I drink. And I don't know why. Just maybe it seems like a cool thing to do. I'm sure there's, like, Sean talks about swirling it as, like, a way to, like, break up compounds so you get more nose. I think it's
it is
just,
definitely more
it's
nose.
Just like a habit. Like, it just, I don't know. I think it's, it looks cool.
And I've
cool.
seen you do it, but to me, it does make that experience, and it makes you taste. Yeah. It makes you taste it better.
Yeah.
You get to understand it more.
Like when I swirl it, I can hear that ice and then I bring it up and I can smell it and I can kind of take it away and look at it and I see the color and the ice there and then I'll sip. So I've got four senses that I've just appealed to. Plus you're feeling the cold glass. So and I think a cocktail should appeal to all the senses.
As a bartender, and you can attest to this, I'm assuming, but making a cocktail to me is important, but it's tricky to have presentation and making a good drink and doing it quick.
Yeah.
Because we get slammed and you know, on prime times. Busy. And sometimes we take it for granted that we don't put a lot of care and attention to it. That's why I like bartending better. And no diss on where I bartend now, but I like bartending better up at a resort because to me I could take my time better.
Yeah.
And I had quality ingredients versus doing it quick at a restaurant.
And like throwing it together and using pre-mixes and stuff
like that. Exactly. Yeah. And I feel like if I can the more natural flavorings, like the more fresh lime juice I can use, lemon juice, more fresh ingredients I can use,
for sure.
The better the fucking cocktail is.
Yeah.
And so these like, you know, sweet and sour mixes or grenadine or you know, cheating kind of things, it helps in the quick and the aspect of it in the large scale. But to me, going up to like a resort or a fancy high end and seeing someone just squeeze a lime, put that in your drink or a lemon or an
and
orange.
And then like muddle it with a little
exactly.
bit of like salt.
Exactly. I miss muddling. I used to muddle
bit.
All the time up at the resort. All the time. Yeah. And I rarely muddle. You know, like I remember muddling the shit out of mint and lime juice and making, and I love making mojitos back
I
in
love
the day.
That when I'm not in a rush.
Yeah.
Cause like, and like resorts are cool, but I feel like, I don't know. I've never worked at a resort, but to me, the volume of people coming in, like people buying a bunch of cheaper drinks as opposed to a few people coming in to buy more expensive drinks, I feel like you're going to make more money, which is why like I would probably never go to a resort over something like, you know, a brewery or something really busy.
Yeah.
And like, I agree. I love making quality drinks. And like, this is what I would try to do. I used to try to do. I don't do it anymore. But I used to try... Like, cool, I'm going to have one drink today that is going to be, like, the special. And I'll spend some time before it gets busy, after everything's set up at the bar, and I'll try a couple of different cocktail mixes. One of my favorites to do was a coconut Cuban, is what I'll call. Have you ever had a Cuban?
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it, I'm sure, when we get to the Cuba Libre. But a coconut Cuban is with, I like the Kehlani coconut rum. Have you had any of that?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that's good tasty. Rum, first of all. Yeah. It tastes like coconut, like water, like right out of the coconut.
It really does.
I like the Kehlani coconut rum and then like a fresh lime and then a little bit of sugar, a little bit of salt, bitters, and champagne instead of soda. And then you've also got, you know,
shit.
Lemon mint leaves.
There you go.
Right. So like, I'm sure you can look up a tutorial, but my favorite way to do it would be like take half a lime and then quarter that half and put it in the bottom of a glass so that the peel is up and then like 2 tablespoons of raw sugar on top of the peel so that when you muddle that, the sugar breaks down into the peel and you get more of that like kind of effervescent, like bitter lime peel flavors. Plus you get the juice from the lime. And then I'll add like my rum to that and like kind of stir that together. And then I'll add the mint and like muddle the mint. Sometimes actually, oh fuck, it's been so long since I made this drink. Maybe I put the mint in before the lime so it doesn't get torn up by the sugar. Yeah, that's what I did so it didn't get bruised. Dude, such,
and
so
it makes a
I
difference.
Made this. Yeah, it does, because then you have like, you don't have little mint flakes, but you've got like very nice pressed mint. You always got to do like
different.
The clap to release. Dude, it's just such a cool process
and
making
that's what
good
I,
drinks.
And that's what I love about bartending when it comes to the creating aspect.
Yeah.
I feel like we're almost, I don't know the word, but we're almost artists when it comes to our craft, when making drinks.
I think we're creating
and
things.
Sometimes when it's not appreciated, as in like you're in a rush or people just want like a vodka soda. I don't know about you, but
it'd
I hate
frustrating, dude.
I hate making vodka sodas.
Yeah.
To me, it's like, and here's another thing on bartending. I hate when someone comes up to me and says, make me whatever you want. What do you want me to, what do you want to make me? Because here's why. Not because I don't want to make you anything. It's like, I have no idea what your palate is.
Right.
I know what drinks – I have a couple drinks for each primary liquor that I know I can go to, whatever.
Yeah.
I have no idea if this person likes whiskey. I have no – if they like gin, vodka, right? I hate that question. I'll explain this to someone.
You know what I'm going to do when someone says that to me? Pour them a fucking tall beer of whatever I like at the moment and a glass of nice whiskey. That's usually my go-to there. One, both, or like one or the other or both. But fuck, let's try this drink. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the Tequila Sunrise, a blend of vodka, Salt Flats vodka, which, by the way, Salt Flats have just the beer, but they have spirits. So they have a vodka, a gin, their Bonneville bourbon whiskey, and they have a rum. And on this one, they put their vodka and a tequila. They don't make tequila, but they put a tequila in their Salt Flats vodka with orange juice and cranberry. This one's 11% ABV. Holy shit.
Yep.
This one is pretty potent.
Yeah. Sweet. And I like it's a little bit sparkly.
It's got like – it looks like sparkling wine-ish kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's this really one's – so again, for those who don't like beers, you have your cocktail. And this is a hella orange juice, I think.
Yeah. It smells like orange juice and then – yeah, just kind
of – super sweet, but it's got an alcohol bite to it for sure. So we're going to go to the Long Island. This one, typically, this one I tell people, whenever people order in Utah a Long Island iced tea, I look at them, and this is exactly my response in Utah. You're going to get a Utah Long Island. And they go, what does that mean? I go, it's not a true Long Island. Because in Utah, we have different liquor laws than most places. And a true Long Island iced tea has gin, tequila, vodka, and rum all mixed together, and they're 1.5 ounces of each. In Utah, you can't do that. You can't. So we cheat in Utah. We have a pre-mix of a blend of all of them together, and we have to do a click of that. And what I mean by click is Wyatt and I have to basically dumb down the alcohol percentage. And
yeah,
it's a – so instead of doing
– and a click is 1.5 ounces. And a click – we call it a click because there's this Berg unit is what it's called. It has like an electromagnet that allows exactly – 1.5 ounces of liqueur to pass
that,
through.
Or we call them grenades. They have like a little you hold them upside down, you fill them, and then you click them, and it'll keep tab about how many times you've clicked.
And those are just a pain in the ass. And they're both pains in the ass.
Well, they suck. And everyone's always everyone that comes out of state is like, "What's this shit you're doing?" I'm like, "Well, we have to measure alcohol percentage."
Well, we're not allowed to measure. We have to let a fucking machine measure for us because they don't trust us.
Exactly, because Utah they are afraid of you drinking. But anyway, so. If you go to Utah and you try to order a Long Island iced tea, just don't.
Yeah.
Straight up, just don't. But if you go to a resort anywhere outside of Utah, order a Long Island iced tea because you'll get a true Long Island. So in Utah, don't get it.
An ounce each of
– so this one's vodka, got the Salt rum, Flats, gin. They have tequila, vodka, rum, and they have all mixed flavors. And this is not award-winning, but this one's 11% as well.
Yeah.
This one looks
– the color surprises me.
Lemonade.
Right, because usually it's supposed to be – like the Long Island iced tea is the vodka, gin, rum, tequila, triple sec, and then you've got sour mix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like if you're making a Long Island, like this is one of those drinks where like if someone orders a Long Island, I'm like, okay, cool. They just want to get drunk. And so I don't give a shit about the ingredients that I put in it. You know what I'm saying?
In a way, yeah.
Like there's a lot of drinks where like if you order like a mojito, like it makes me sad to use simple syrup and, you know, like shittier flavors when I could be using fresh lime and like raw sugar and, and make it with better stuff.
Yeah.
Like if people order a mojito with like a shitty rum, you know, that makes me sad.
Again, quality ingredients. Quality. It's like beer. Right. Beer, you need fresh beer. It tastes way different and better if you have fresh ingredients to a cocktail.
Fresh and like well taken care of stuff in cocktail, you know. But like Long Island, I'm like, cool, let's pull out the, you know, fucking cheap Long Island mix, like sour mix, and then, you know, splash of soda on top, or cola.
Yeah, cola on top with cola.
And they just want something that's going to get them drunk and
this
be sweet.
This one's not bad, man. I like this one.
It smells lemony.
Yeah, it's got a nice, not a tart lemonade to it. It's a hella alcohol friend.
Very tart.
It's got that sweetness on it, that tea sweetness. I enjoy it. I wouldn't pound this, obviously, but this is a sipping cocktail.
Well, I think this is crushable. This is high on the crushability scale.
You think so?
Well, I mean, It's because it's supposed to be. Like, Long Island iced teas are supposed to be sweet. You're not supposed to be able to taste the alcohol. They're supposed to get you drunk fast.
It's 11% ABV.
That's what this does.
You know, and it will do it.
This will get you drunk fast. 100%. If you want to get drunk fast, go to Long Island, and then your bartender will be...
But not in Utah.
Whatever.
Because in Long... We're only allowed to go so much alcohol. Dude,
I've seen people get drunk off Long Island in Utah.
Well, people get... Anyway, Utahans get drunk fast, apparently.
You know, honestly, I feel like the people who get drunk, at least at my bar, who I've seen get drunk more often, are the foreigners who are like, oh, Utah with their shitty near beer, can't pour as much alcohol in. And then they try to, like, do back-to-back shots of vodka or whatever, and then they're drunk in, like, 5 minutes. I'm like, come on, guys. Like,
it doesn't matter where you're from, you're going to get drunk. You know, to me, it's people think they can hold their alcohol. It just means you can be more.
Yeah, I thought I could hold my alcohol when I was fucking 16, too. God, I remember my first beer.
Exactly. So the next one we're going to go to is one of my favorites. It's Cuba Libre. This one's got cola and rum and lime. Simple. So
in Utah, you can't pour doubles, but our shots are usually taller than most other places. Like, if you go outside of Utah, anytime I've gotten a shot, it's always 1 ounce. In Utah, our shots are 1.5 ounces, so it's 1/2 ounce more, so you get 150% of the alcohol. We can't water down vodka. That's against the law, right? I think that, like, in Utah, I think people complain, but, like, there's a way to get just as – like, if you want to get drunk, you can still get drunk in Utah. And obviously we're going to cut you off if you start to get too shitty. But that's just a law. That's a fucking federal law. Like, you're not allowed to overserve.
That's the thing is you can get drunk, and everyone has the right to get drunk. But you need to understand – and this is what pisses me off. When you get cut off at a bar by a bartender, you can't be mad at the bartender. Especially in Utah, and this is I'm speaking from me bartending. If I'm cutting you off, it's because A, I'm looking for your safety.
Yeah.
And the dram shop laws say that if you go leave my bar intoxicated, go and get into an accident, you can sue my ass for getting you drunk and getting behind the wheel and your own integrity and then going and get an accident because I didn't cut you off and I got you drunk because you were at my bar. I can get sued.
That's a stupid law because I feel like that takes away the ownership from the person who actually fucked up.
Exactly. And it's just – it goes back to the logistics of all suing happy country we're in.
Fuck.
But that's the thing. So if I'm cutting you off at my bar, don't take offense to it. If any bartender is, it's because they are looking out for you first. In the moment, I promise the drunk person is not seeing that.
No.
Never.
They're always – not always – So I've had
98% of the time they're always like pissed at me or like give me like that like a child. Yeah. It's like guys,
like a child who's not allowed to play with his favorite toy
anymore.
How
the fuck? I don't care if you have a DD. I don't care if your wife's gonna take you home or your husband's gonna take you home or your friend. It doesn't matter. You can't leave my bar, and I'm not legally obliged to give you intoxicated.
Yeah,
you can get buzzed, get a little drunk. That's great, but you gotta handle your shit. And if you want to go get drunk, do it in the safety of your own home. And that's what kills me is. People get mad at us for cutting them off, but we're looking out for you, looking out for us, and we're looking out for the business.
Right.
And then others around you, because if you get behind a fucking car, a wheel of a car, and you're drunk, intoxicated, you guys are going to hurt people. Are you fucking kidding me? That's ridiculous.
You're going to fucking hurt people because, like, that's so dumb to me.
It's stupid to me. It's fucking childish. And it really is. And so it pisses me off because when people get mad at me for cutting them off, it's like, I get upset because, like, guys, I'm looking out for you.
Yeah.
But don't get mad at me. Well, fuck you, dude, for cutting me off. Or they give me like a stupid –
this place fucking sucks.
Fuck you. I'm never coming back to this place again. I'm talking to the manager. Please, talk to the manager because they're going to take my side 99% of the time. I'm not cutting you off because I hate you. I'm cutting you off because I care.
Yeah.
I care. Well,
like we're caring about you because you could go and hurt yourself. You could go hurt other people. Usually if I cut you off, it's because you're getting really loud and you're bothering – other guests in the restaurant.
Absolutely.
We work in a fucking family restaurant. If you're getting loud right here at the bar and there's kids 20 feet away from you, dropping bombs
left and right.
Dude,
you know,
that's not cool. That's not cool, man.
It's just you childish is a good way to do it. And I get having fun. I get being drunk, having fun.
Children, and that makes sense.
Right. And you know what? If you want to go get drunk and have fun, do it in the safety of your own home or go to a friend's house, but don't do it in a public environment.
Definitely don't drive.
That's stupid. Definitely.
Don't ever drink and drive.
But what kills me is when you got like a group of friends and they have the one DD, or they have a husband-wife combo and they have a DD, the one spouse, the DD. I have a DD, or I have an Uber picking me up. It doesn't matter. I'm still not letting you get fucked up at my bar.
Yeah.
I don't care.
It's just, I think that's just like, that's like just a bad show. Like I just don't want people in my restaurant who are going to be really drunk. Handle your shit. Control. You just got to have control of yourself.
You know, all of us have been, you know, at times where we've made mistakes and haven't handled our shit. And I understand that.
You know what are some of the things I hate to see?
Hmm.
I hate to see people fucking puking in my bathrooms. Not cool. No one wants to have... cleans that up? Me.
Yep. No one wants to have that so much fun and then end because you're sick. That sucks. Because, like, no one wants to drink so much that you're sick. That just ruins. I'm never drinking again. I've always had. I mean, you've heard that conversation from yourself or from others. Like, man, I drank so much last night. I'm not touching alcohol forever. Like, I'm off alcohol.
I'm never drinking again.
It's like, okay. Yeah, I've said that myself too.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's go back to this drink.
Cuba Libre.
The Cuba Libre, dude. I like making it just because I like a little cola. Dude,
what a smell. That smells wonderful.
It smells potent as fuck.
Very, like, intense, like, spice rum smell.
Smooth, dude.
Dude, I'm excited to drink. I just want to keep smelling it all day. Fuck. That smells wonderful.
It's good. The cola they put in it, like, it's good. You haven't tried it yet. I've tried it, and I like it, dude.
Lime and, like,
it's
spices.
It's got spiced rum to it. Or it's, I don't know if it's a spiced rum, but the drink is spiced. Yeah, dude.
That's good.
I like this one a lot.
That's really good.
Yeah. And the lime's not super tart. It's well balanced.
Dude, this is probably one of the most crushable things I've ever drank. This is a fucking danger drink.
Yeah, because this is, what's the ABV on this one?
10?
The ABV's 9.
9.
Yeah, so it's Cuba Libre is cola, light rum, and fresh lime juice.
That's wonderful. It's a fucking good one. Well job.
Absolutely. Well good job, done. Guys.
Good job.
Salt Flats, God damn it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well done.
But I think the next one we're going to go to is the award-winning bronze medal, Sturgis Lemonade.
Is that cinnamon in there?
I don't know what that spice is.
A little bit of cinnamon.
It's got to have some type of spice like that.
Fuck, I could drink that all day.
It's pretty good.
That's dangerous.
So this one's the Sturgis Lemonade. So Sturgis Lemonade is lemonade made with bourbon whiskey, bourbon specifically. Not rye, but Sturgis, you just do a bourbon whiskey, a little bit of rocks. I like top it off with lemonade. If I can get fresh lemonade, I will. And then I like putting a lemon peel on this, on my Sturgis.
Okay.
I like garnishing. I miss at Sundance. I used to garnish all the time with great fresh mint. Like, I used to garnish with awesome orange peels, lime peels, lemon peels, and it was so fun. Olives, and going to a brewery, it's just I feel like it kind of takes away from it a little bit, you know?
Oh, you
like
can we're still saying. Garnish, man.
No, right, but when you're in a rush, it's just a lot harder too.
Yeah.
And
that's why it's nice to have that stuff there handy, like a couple limes, lemons, oranges with some ice in them. And then I like to pick some fresh mint leaves or leave, like, I like the tips of, like, mint. So when you can put it in, like, stem down and you've got some mint leaves picking up.
It's like an umbrella garnish. Almost in a cocktail.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. But I think way prettier because it's got those nice green leaves.
It's floral.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I mean, what person doesn't like to have a little bit of green in their life, right?
Dude, that Cuba Libre was bomb.
That was good. So this one, again, Sturgis Lemonade. It's made from Salt Flats bourbon, and it's got natural lemonade. It's 10% ABV. Again, Salt Flats, they have their Bonneville bourbon whiskey, which I have not tried, but it will be in this drink. Guys, if you have any questions, again, look us up on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Tastemasters, tastemastersdrink.com is our website. Podcasts launch every Thursday. Hit us up if you guys need something or have questions. We're here to ask, here to talk about anything. Salt Flats, this goes to you. For those non-beer drinkers, we are talking cocktail beers for you guys. Cocktail beers. This one, I think, the Sturgis Lemonade, I'm excited because Wyatt's a huge whiskey and scotch fan. And this one.
I don't usually love bourbon. Can I tell you something?
Oh, wow.
The nose to this reminds me of rye whiskey, not bourbon. That, like, kind of spicy kind of smell.
Yeah. And
that's a rye smell, dude. Rye is spicy.
Yeah, off the nose, you get, like, hella whiskey, though. But you're getting more rye than you are bourbon?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, rye has, like, this kind of, like, dry, spicy smell to it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We need to do, like, a whiskey episode. I'll bring some good ryes. But specifically, this reminds me of, like, the Sugar House rye is super. It's, like, pretty sweet for a rye. There's kind of, like, a caramel flavor there. But
I get you. It's spicy, though. It's got that kick. It's very, very spicy. A little bit.
And, yeah. Like, it's interesting because it's sweet. It's got this really big mouthfeel. But it's also, like, really kind of dry. Like, it's a really good traditional rye whiskey, but it's got this weird, like, mouthfeel.
Right.
And almost like a sweetness to it that you don't usually find in rye whiskey. That's what this smells like to me. Very similar, like this nice kind of dry.
Let's taste it.
Spicy nose.
I mean, it does have that spice to it. Smooth, dude. Holy fuck. That's surprisingly.
Nice. It tastes very similar to like rye whiskey in there.
But they say they use their great Bonneville job. Bourbon.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's
and
got
you get
that
a little
kick.
Bit of that like bourbon kind of fire at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Not strong, though. It's very, very.
So weird. For anyone, a little crash course on whiskey. All bourbon is whiskey, all rye is whiskey, but not all whiskeys are bourbon, not all whiskeys are rye.
Or scotch or Japanese
whiskey. Right, so it's
malt
so
or...
it's just a category of the whiskey.
Just like beer has, you know, we've got stouts and IPAs and light lagers.
Not all
and...
stouts are porters, not all porters are stouts, not all IPAs are pale ales. Right. It's the same kind of context, right? For those who are difference between bourbon and rye and whiskey and blah blah blah. All bourbon's whiskey.
Just like not all gin is London dry gin.
Yep.
Even though everyone thinks all gin is London
absolutely.
Dry gin.
No, you're right. I like this one, dude. What do you think of this one?
I think it's pretty tasty.
Award
I like
winning.
That a lot. The whiskey is
it's good.
Good in there.
Yeah, and the lemonade they put in it is not hella sweet and it's not super tart. It's I'm hesitant to say this, but it's well balanced. For a cocktail drink, I think it's well balanced.
Yeah. I think balance is important always.
Right, and that's what we find in beers. Yeah. Good balanced beer.
I like this one. I think the Cuba Libre, it's hard to say. The Cuba Libre was good, but this one doesn't I feel like a good cocktail should enhance and complement the flavors of the base spirit.
Yeah.
Meaning you should still be able to taste the base spirit,
right.
And then those flavors are going to make it kinda,
and it complement,
just like pairing wine and food.
And it's beautiful how cocktails can do that, where, you know, you have a specific – because there's – lower end spirits and there's higher end spirits and there's someone was asking me what's the difference between lower end and higher end. Traditionally, you can actually get less of a hangover with higher end spirits because of how quality they are and how they're made, distilled.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it does make a difference. I know it's cheaper to get bottom shelf or lower shelf. I get that. But once you go like for tequila is a great example for me. I will not go and drink cheap tequila anymore. After I've gotten top shelf tequila, just because I notice a difference. It's completely different.
Yeah.
And so if you can put complementary ingredients inside of those and bring out the flavor profile of that spirit, like you're saying, enhance it, it makes the drink that much better.
It's like a pairing, like you're pairing stuff together inside a glass. It's already mixed together. Like we can recommend stuff like, okay, you're drinking this beer, like the IPA, the Zalupes,
was that
the name of it? Like, that would pair well with a hearty Mexican dish.
Correct.
I think heavy on the meat and very
like
savory.
Fatty meat. Yeah.
Yeah, fatty stuff. Chorizo, carne asada, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We can recommend that pairing, but you can get that IPA and then you can go get something else. Like, you could decide, oh, no, I don't want that. I'm going to get fish and chips, whatever, which I don't think would pair super well with it. Maybe the fat from the fish, but even still, I don't think it would be.
It's a stretch.
Yeah, I don't think it would be a great pairing. Wouldn't be terrible, but it wouldn't be great.
There's better pairings.
Yeah. Or like getting that with like brownie. Not going to work. It's not going to be good. The IPA is going to taste terrible.
You could drink the IPA. It just enhances. And it goes back to my example of the whole.
This is a chance for us to be like, okay.
Exactly.
We're going to make you a drink and we're not going to let you fuck up the pairing because we're going to put it in the glass.
We'll make
it.
Yeah. So,
exactly.
And we kind of. It's like an art form.
Yeah.
And in a way, bartending is kind of an art.
I think it just takes like a lot of practice and some pretty basic knowledge.
There's a lot of drinks out there. I don't think, a bartender who knows every drink, you know, a lot of drinks, it's hard. And you can't know every single drink. Yeah. I mean, I'll use my phone to cheat and look
all the
up. And I'll even ask people, like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
Like, what's a julep? What the fuck is a julep? I don't know what a julep is. And then you learn what a julep is and you'll never forget that again. Right. But once you get acquainted with making these drinks, it's like secondhand. You know it, and then you can make whatever drink you're supposed to make, and then you can create it your own way. Because not every margarita is the same.
True.
Not every martini is the same.
And you could be at a bar with three bartenders and ask for a margarita three times and have three different margaritas.
And that's why I like to go – if I have a bartender that I like to go to that bartender because that bartender knows what I like.
Dude, how many times have you got like a server who sends a ticket through with like, let like, and margarita's a great example. And it's like, please have David make the margarita, or please have Wyatt make the margarita. I get that all the time.
And it's because we make it the way we think we should make it, even though like in the recipe or whatever the restaurant has us do, or a brewery or resort. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, I think this person will – it's for us, it's like a way of showing our expression through our cocktails.
Yeah. It can like, even be as simple as like you, usually we will like free pour the triple sec. I know a bartender who doesn't put triple sec in his margaritas.
Interesting.
Not doesn't even put no triple sec. The bartender also doesn't think there's a difference between triple sec and Grand Marnier. Thinks that Cointreau Grand Marnier basically the same thing.
But yeah.
Yeah. Dude, when people are like, why don't you put Grand Marnier in a margarita? I'm like, because it's not going to be a margarita anymore. Fuck. Like, Grand Marnier is so fucking heavy to go with a nice light silver tequila and lime juice. No. Also, I don't think margaritas should have agave in them, aside from the tequila. Just saying. Like, five ingredients.
Interesting.
Tequila, salt, lime, Cointreau, ice.
Wow. There you go. So that's an example right there. That's how Wyatt would make his margarita. I'd make mine different. Yeah. Right.
How would you make your margarita?
So my margaritas, I like putting – I don't use triple sec. I like using Grand Marnier because Grand Marnier gives it that the orange zest to it. I think Grand Marnier is better than Cointreau, in my opinion.
So different, dude.
They are different. But,
it's a different cocktail. So but for me,
that's my palate. That's what I like, right?
Yeah.
And I like fresh lime juice. I hate using the store-bought bottle shit. I just can't do it. So I'll squeeze a lime in it. I'll muddle one, and I'll shake the shit out of it.
Yeah.
And it depends on what tequila I'm using.
I don't like to muddle limes for a margarita because I don't want the bitterness from the rind.
Because that's the salt on the rim. And that's why I do it, is because for me, it's a balancing act for a margarita.
That's a completely different drink. Right there is a great example.
And that's margarita, but you have a different version of a margarita.
Do you use silver tequila or do you use like a añejo or a reposado or something?
So reposado is my go-to. Mm. If it's not available, then I'll go silver.
Gotcha.
Just because for me, it's that kick, dude.
I think Grand Marnier is good in a margarita. And I don't know what to call it because I don't think it's a margarita anymore. As soon as you add Grand Marnier, because Grand Marnier is a... Like, if you look at the way that Cointreau is made or a triple sec, Cointreau is just a fancy triple sec. It's just like the name triple sec, right? Grand Marnier is a type of brandy. So when they make Cointreau, they take neutral spirits and they add both sweet and bitter oranges. And so think of like a barrel of neutral grain spirits. So basically vodka. And then they just put a bunch of oranges in there, both sweet and bitter oranges.
For Grand Marnier?
And let it sit for Cointreau.
Cointreau,
for 24 hours. And then they take those oranges out. They add a little bit of like deaerated water or whatever to kind of take that spirit down a little bit because it's supposed to be a liqueur, not a liquor.
Right.
Difference is alcohol content versus sugar quantity for the most part. Grand Marnier, or not Grand Marnier, Cointreau is not sweet. It's very effervescent and it reminds me of like orange essential oils. So
it does have that essential oil.
I've got some Cointreau at my house. You can come over and we can drink some Cointreau versus – I don't have Grand Marnier. I have Grand Gala, which is – I like it a little more because it's a little bit lighter. Grand Marnier starts as a brandy, which is – I want to say brandy is like a distilled wine. Maybe that's
it's a cognac brandy.
Gotcha.
So that's what it is.
So it's like a distilled – it's like a distilled wine, right?
Yeah.
And then Grand Marnier, they add a bunch of sugar
and orange,
bitter oranges, not just orange, bitter oranges.
It's not that sweet like Valencia oranges. Yeah.
Yeah. So triple sec has bitter and sweet oranges. Grand Marnier just has bitter oranges, but it also has a bunch of sugar, and brandy is already pretty sweet.
Right.
And so you get something that's a lot heavier with Grand Marnier. The reason I like triple sec, especially with a silver tequila, is it's so light. And to me, a margarita is a summertime drink. It's going to be hot outside. I'm already sweating. I want something that's going to be light. And to me, like, I drink every morning, I drink a combination of lime juice and salt and like a pint of water because it's like very hydrating. Like people do, don't even fucking get me started on salt because the understanding of this nation and salt is so fucked up. Like salt is one of the most important things you can drink. Like if you ask me what I supplement with, cause like I train a lot, right? You know what I supplement with? Salt. It's the only thing I fucking supplement with. You don't need fucking, like, that's the most important thing over fucking multivitamins and, you know, krill oil and omega-3s and fucking protein powder. Fucking salt. Super important. To me, margarita, you've got lime juice, which is refreshing. You've got a silver tequila, which is very light. You've got Cointreau, which is very light and effervescent. You've got the ice, which is going to cool it. And then the salt, which makes it kind of refreshing. And then also a little hydrating. I'm a fan.
That's beautiful. So for you, it's almost a crushability and enjoyable at the same time.
I also like when you add Grand Marnier, but if you add Grand Marnier, you've got to have something like the Jornitos Black Barrel, which is like aged in whiskey barrels. So it's got to, you've got to pair something heavier with something heavier. And I go a lot lighter on the lime juice.
So that's so, that's super ironic, I guess, or funny that you do the light. Cause for me, a margarita is heavier, because the reason why I do Reposado is because it's aged. It's been aged for anywhere from 60 to a year. 60 days to a year. And that tequila is typically heavier. It's harder. And the Grand Marnier, to me, when I put it on the Reposado, it's almost harder with it.
It's heavier and like sweeter. Exactly.
For me, it's like a – because to me – and I'm not trying to offend anyone out there. But for me, if I hate making margaritas, because I hear – you hear one margarita and it's like, oh, margarita, margarita, margarita. It's, for me, it's like – it's become like this bitch drink almost. And it's not a bitch drink. For me –
it's a fantastic
for
cocktail.
For me, it's a cocktail where you should fucking just sit there and enjoy.
Dude, I would argue my favorite cocktail.
And so – and that's why I like margaritas. For you, you're looking at crushability. Margaritas, let's go. It's awesome. It's light.
Well, not even like super crushability, but like just refreshing on a hot day.
You're right. And I get that. And I love that. And I respect that. For me, I guess I'm picturing like barbecue. It's later in the day. It's darker. Mm. You know, sun's kind of setting. And I want something just to sip on. And I want a fucking chilled margarita. And I want it a little bit heavier. That's why I do Reposado. And that's why I do Grand Marnier. Okay. Because it is heavier.
So,
but that salt balances the bitterness, and that's why I put fresh lime juice, and then I'll put that sweetness inside of it, and that's why, for me, it's a well-balanced for the atmosphere. It goes back to that memories. It goes back to, like, the environment and how you drink it.
Yeah.
That's for me.
Let me pitch a scenario to you here, okay? Let's say late June, early July, okay? Plan on having barbecue with your friends. It's a Saturday. Don't have to work. Get together early. It's like 4 o'clock. What are you drinking?
A light lager cerveza.
Gotcha. So for me, light lager cerveza, that's when I would want to have that lighter margarita.
You're right.
We get later into the afternoon, and I might start drinking that like so if we get – you're thinking like barbecue, but like in the middle, like late June, early July, sun's not going down to like 9:30.
You're right.
So I'm drinking. Yeah. It's still going to be hot outside. We're probably going to play, you know, like
– cornhole.
Cornhole, fucking great, or – like, usually, if we have enough people, like, our go-to with my friends is softball, right?
Yeah.
Or not softball, the wiffle ball, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And usually one guy will think he's tough after having a couple margaritas and hit it outside the yard, and then everyone's pissed at him,
right?
Like, you fucking lost the ball.
Yeah, sandlot
none
shit.
Of us can drive now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we get on our bikes and try to scrounge up pennies.
Yeah, absolutely. No, right.
But, right, so we're drinking light. We're drinking, like... light lager, cerveza specifically with lime, and also margaritas. That's the go-to. It gets later in the day, and that's when we start to break out añejos, reposados, or barrel-aged.
Fancy shit, dude.
Yeah, like it's once the sun goes down, I want something heavier. I agree, it's cooling down a little bit, and that's where I would go to. And I could see your margarita, but your margarita, it's gotta have. I would never use a silver tequila in your margarita.
Never. Mm-mm.
I would go – like añejo is kind of like the minimum, because añejos have been aged for, what, 1 to 3 years?
They've been aged longer, yeah. So they've – yeah.
But like the Jornitos Black Barrel, one of my favorite tequilas.
I love
tequilas,
Jornitos, dude.
Aged in whiskey barrels, so you've got a little bit of whiskey bite. And I really like Grand Marnier with whiskey. I think that's a great combination because like that orange, it reminds me of like an old-fashioned. Almost like – one of my favorite drinks is rye whiskey. A little bit of Grand Marnier and like some bourbon cherries, and it's like
bourbon soaked cherries.
Yeah,
hell yeah,
yeah. And it's like somewhere between a like a Manhattan. I like to serve it up, and like because a Manhattan is like sweet vermouth, rye whiskey, and bourbon cherries, and you've got your old fashioned, which is, you know, rye whiskey, a sugar cube. So like it doesn't have the sugar and it doesn't have the sweet vermouth. It's got that kind of orangey, and then I'll usually put like an orange peel with it, which I think orange and rye whiskey pairs really well. So
absolutely, yeah,
it's got to be something heavier, and that's why I think the Black Barrel aged tequila is what would really go well with that Grand Marnier. And I would argue either orange bitters or maybe like a slice of orange and a slice of lime. So in my margarita, I'm using half a lime. In yours, I would probably use a little less lime as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the salt for sure.
Yeah.
I think we need to have barbecue and test.
Now we have to. Let's try this out. So let's try this last one.
Drink our last one.
This one is the award-winning Kentucky Mule.
Yeah.
This one's from, again, Salt Flats Brewery. The Salt Flats Spirits. Same company, just a different aspect of it. This one's got silver medal ready to drink. So I like making – so one of the most common drinks I make is a Moscow Mule. So the difference between a Moscow Mule and a Kentucky Mule is a Moscow Mule has a vodka base, but a Kentucky Mule – typically has a bourbon base or whiskey base.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. I mean,
it's got to be bourbon because it's Kentucky straight bourbon.
Right. But some people put rye whiskey.
That's different. That's different. You know, that's the pack mule.
And I'm not a huge fan of the pack mule.
I like it a lot.
But you like rye. I'm not a huge rye fan
of rye whiskey. You know what's funny is, man, dude. I have a friend who was, dude, it smells like rye, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah.
Right off the bat, dude. I wonder what's in their bourbon because it smells like rye to me.
It's something different, dude.
You know, I have a friend who drinks a lot of bourbon, and specifically, like, Maker's Mark is kind of like his go-to.
Okay, not bad.
Right. And
he was trying to... basic bourbon.
Yeah, exactly. He was trying to convince me to drink bourbon, and it's funny because I don't hate bourbon. Like, there are good bourbons out there. I think they're harder to find, and I feel like...
Agreed.
Bourbon is... All of them are so simple. Like, the space of...
They're easier to drink, in my mind. A rye to me is harder. A rye is more of a acquired. To me, a rye is like an IPA. Hops are hard to, very beginning, hops are hard to pick out. They're kind of in your face. To me, rye is that same thing. But rye is more quality than a bourbon.
Yeah. Okay. I see that for sure. I don't think that rye is harder to drink than bourbon. And I think that scotches, of all the whiskeys, I think Highland Scotch is easiest to drink, but that's a whole different thing. Bourbons, the space like of difference between bourbons is so small to me. Like bourbons are all the same, right?
Yeah.
It's like turn your iPhone on the side so it looks small, or like think of like a card, right? If you turn the card on the side, you can barely see it if you hold it at arm's length. That's the amount of difference there is between bourbons. They all taste basically the same. Some are a little bit more sweeter.
That's what I'm saying. It's easier to drink. Like to me, it's more simplified.
They all taste the same. And they're very simple.
In generic, I'm not trying to diss bourbons, but like, that's just how I think of it. It's the basic whiskey.
Yeah. Rye is like taking a handful of cards and like spreading them out. Like you've got like five cards.
That's what I'm
playing
saying.
Poker, you got five cards right there.
There's
right?
a different world.
There's so much variety.
There is.
And then you get into like scotch and it's like playing 52 pickup. Right. Like, there's like much variety.
So I get that rye base in this Kentucky Mule.
It smells rye.
So I know this came out of a can, and this may sound – you may roll your eyes at me when I say this, but I actually want to drink this on ice.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I mean, I feel like that's what's missing is ice.
I think all of these would be great on
ice. Yeah, and which is ironic because it comes out of the – but again, it goes back – all those people who said, David, I don't like beer. Here's your fucking cocktails.
Yep.
Like these are cocktails. And pour it in ice, over ice, pour it in a glass, enjoy it.
Yep.
Does the glass matter with these cocktails? No, a glass does not matter. In my mind, no. But does making
– right, you can drink it straight out of it. I think a little bit of nose is nice. I love the nose on these two.
The nose is great. This the two is, whiskey is, based. To me, this is a very complex version of cocktail beer. I thought I'd be getting more like sugar. I'd get more like artificial shit. Yeah. To me, this feels like it's pretty close to a genuine cocktail, and I am thoroughly impressed with Salt Flats.
Well done. This isn't as spicy as I thought it would be.
No, but
I was thinking it would be a lot more spicy, and it tastes surprisingly similar to the lemonade.
It does, but I think it's more ginger in this one. The ginger really kind of bites on this one, and the lemonade.
It does
the
Sturgis, a little bit.
That's why I feel like they both won awards, because it picks at you a little bit.
That's what I mean at the spiciness, is I was expecting more like ginger kind of bite. And it tastes kind of like fresh ginger, but like toned down fresh ginger.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not
but I do like
in
that
your
it
face.
Tastes fresh, the ginger. Like there's an,
Which
a
is
lot of ginger beers that don't taste
Because I feel
fresh.
Like these would age better than a beer. I feel like these would last longer. And I mean, I don't know. To
That's
me, these are a couple months old.
I wonder if the flavor profile would change
with
age.
I don't know, because to me, we've been breaking down beers, not necessarily cocktails in a can. So I don't know. That's a great. I mean, I'm assuming they would degrade a little bit.
Yeah,
but again, guys, cocktails in a can. If you guys don't like beers, but you like cocktails, there you go. I've said it again.
If you like talking about cocktails, like we would love to branch out, and
If any bartenders are listening, like, come on the show. If you guys want to talk about what's
show
going on.
Show us how to make your favorite cocktail.
Oh, we would love to do that. We're on That'd video. Cool. You guys can look us up on YouTube. Our shows are on there. We're trying our best to show you guys what we're trying to learn as well. Yeah. So if you guys have any questions, let us know. But again, handle your shit. When knowledge increases, behavior changes. And I feel like hopefully you guys learned from a bartender's aspect, like the ins and outs a little bit about our world.
Yeah. If you have questions, hit us up.
Yeah. We would love to talk more bartending stuff. We'd love, that's what we'd love to do. So anyway, till the next beverage, bro.
Yeah. Cheers.
And girl, till the next beverage, people.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. This has been David and Wyatt on Taste Masters.